consolation bracket, consolation bracket. It's fun and winning too. Those other guys, they still like you. Do, 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 do.
Welcome in to another episode of the Nothing Catchy Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Dewey, a.k.a. Read 'em and Weep. Joining me today, I've got Jake Prosser, a.k.a. What's your name, Jake? Chilling with my homies.
Chilling with my homies, a.k.a. I said I was going to run the table, a.k.a. I meant I was going to drop that one and now run the table.
You're just dropping one. That's right. Only that's one right. Down. The rest is all in the bag.
That's right.
So I've got some interesting questions for you. We'll start with what I consider the easier question. The last few years, it's been, so in 2018, this is coming from a tweet, by the way. In 2018-19, everybody said Tom Brady's better than Mahomes, okay? Then 1920, they said Lamar Jackson is better than Mahomes. 2020, 2021, they said Justin Herbert's better than Mahomes. 2021, 2022, they said Joe Burrow's better than Mahomes. 2022 and 2023, they're now saying Tua Tagovailoa is better than Mahomes. Here's the question. At what point when you're comparing another player to the consistent player, is that consistent player always the number one?
Man, ain't that the truth? It's also funny how every year it seems like there's a new... They want a Brady-Manning rivalry so bad, a new one. And so every year it's, Mahomes, Lamar, that's the new Brady-Manning. Then Burrow, Mahomes, that's the new man every year too. That's what they do. And so then this year going in, it was Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, that's the new Brady Manning. Yeah, it's I don't know if it's because Kansas City's a small market team or if it's kind of like Mahomes set the bar so high that first year coming out and throwing 50 tubs and 5,000 yards that it's like, oh, he only threw for 39 touchdowns. You know, it's he set the bar so high that now it seems like people are numb to it. It's kind of the like LeBron James effect where you could make an argument that he should have way more MVPs than he does.
Yeah.
But people are just like, it's old news. So already Mahomes only 5 years in.
Considered old news.
Old news. And I mean, he's winning MVP this year though. So that's what's up.
I think he is. And unless he starts to really, you know, stumble here down the stretch. But yeah, I just was watching. That was kind of a big thing going on Twitter today. Was everybody's talking about the whole comparison. And I just started, it just hit me where it's like, we've been comparing forever and Mahomes is just the guy. There's no way he's not. And we are watching somebody who is consistently showing his greatness. And that's the thing is I'm not trying to dog Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert or Burrow or even Tua. Like they have their skill and they have been good and had their years of success, like 1 or 2 years, but to consistently do it is really hard. And then to even do it when you've lost arguably a once in a generation wide receiver talent says everything. And that's one of those takes, by the way. I was talking to my brother-in-law or before the season started, and I told him, hey, Tua's nothing. He's not going to be good in fantasy. Tyreek's not going to be good in fantasy. They're going to be average. Like, that's what I think. Boy, was I wrong. I was completely wrong. I did not give Tyreek as much credit as I should have. But, man, Mahomes is good, and Mahomes is just rocking it. So the other question I wanted to ask you, which game this weekend was better? Buffalo versus Vikings or Commanders versus Philly? And you could even say which one was more surprising of an outcome, but which one do you think you liked better?
Oh, well, better game. I was on the edge of my seat for the entirety of, for the Minnesota and Buffalo game, the Chiefs game wrapped up and I flipped over to the Minnesota Bills game to see how that game was going to wrap up. And I was texting with, Elijah, and Doug, actually, shout out, guys. We were all talking about it because Elijah's a big Vikings fan.
Yeah.
And there were like three times that Elijah was like, it's game. Oh, that's game. Game's over. Vikings lose.
I can't blame him, though. The Vikings. He has like, the Vikings are PTSD. Like,
oh, dude.
I would never have expected them to have won that game because I totally get it. Elijah has every right to just throw in the towel anytime something bad happens because that's what Vikings do.
Right. So that was an amazing game, though. And you could ask my girlfriend, Jess. She was sitting by me while I was watching it. And I was just like, there were like five consecutive players where I was like, oh, no way. Oh, no way. Oh, that's game. Oh, that's game. Oh, the game's still going. You know, like just back and forth.
Yeah.
So that game, I mean, that's game of the year. I don't think anything's going to top that. So that game was more entertaining, was better, was more thrilling. Awesome. And cool to see the Vikings come out on top because that.
Yeah.
You know, I'll root for Vikings in the NFC and then also, you know, knocked off the Bills, which is great for the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I completely lost my train of thought. What was the second question?
Oh, Commanders Philly.
Surprising. Sorry?
The Commanders Philly. Like, it wasn't necessarily exciting. I didn't stay up and watch the game because it was not something I thought would be remotely even interesting.
No.
But it came. I'm glad the Commanders won that one, and also I'm actually kind of glad for Philly fans that they lost that one because the amount of pressure going into the playoffs and going into the Super Bowl potentially with an undefeated season makes it even harder. And so for a Phillies fan with the potential to win the Super Bowl, like you wanted them to lose at some point this year, like, and what better than a division rival where you can chalk it off to be like, hey, we have each other's numbers on a regular basis, like it's no big deal, you know.
Right. But. Yeah, that's what an interesting, I mean, that could be a whole topic we could talk about. Just like, would you want your team to go undefeated going into the playoffs? It's like, well, there's just something about it. I think the 2007 Patriots scared us all. We remember it so vividly that it's like, they were so close to being the best team ever.
Yeah.
They went undefeated, but then it's like, oh, big deal. Who cares? They lost the Super Bowl. They didn't win it.
Exactly.
And so everyone is, I think we all, if you were around for that, that's, if you're into football at that time, everyone is still so scarred from that. It's like, no, you don't want that. I'd much rather be the Giants from that year than the Patriots. So
yeah.
I guess a loss is good. It does take that pressure off. I'd be interested to go into a locker room, an NFL locker room, and actually chat with the players and be like, maybe it's something they wouldn't even consciously admit to.
Yeah.
With feeling the stress, but it's probably just almost like a subconscious thing, that stress of being undefeated or the pressure. Yeah. I don't know.
So I'm going to play a clip here real quick, actually.
Cool.
And this is actually AJ Brown talking about it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Did you see that? I don't want to make any excuses. You know, I think, you know, they play better than us tonight, you know, and that's, that shit happens sometimes.
Oh, man. Sorry about language.
It's just all about how you respond. I know guys got long faces, but me personally, of course I want to win, but not all this 17-0 shit over with. Like, you know, now it's not. Now we're going to wake up, and how you going to respond, you know? Man, it's all good, man. You know what I'm saying? This is a game that we love to play, and sometimes you can hit in the mouth, and then how you respond, man, it comes with it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
how do you think you'll respond to this team?
You know, I hope we respond. We get back up and start fighting back. You know, and I feel like we will. We got good teammates in this locker room, a lot of vets. You know, so.
Is that something that's? So yeah, I think he acknowledged it, and that's where I kind of got that idea where it's like, yeah, they lost the game, but. That's a big elephant in the room to have that idea of 17-0 that you have to strive for it and you got to do it and you got to be it. And it's like, you know, there Jalen Hurts is his first really successful year. You don't need that extra pressure on him this year. Like, and I do think a great Super Bowl will be Chiefs Eagles. I think that'll be a fun, super fun game. I'm glad they lost that first game. I've always been on the side of, don't go undefeated, because once you hit the playoffs, it's a high risk of losing first round because of it. So
right, yeah, and it's a bit of a cliche, but defeat, loss, any aspect in life, but particularly, you know, obviously very tangible way, sports, that's where you can really analyze what went wrong and get better. You get better because you lost. So
the only exception I heard earlier, to that is fantasy football. Okay,
go ahead.
Only exception is fantasy football, because I've learned enough. I've learned enough, Jake. I don't need to learn anymore. I need more winning.
Yeah, I guess that's directly. That's not applicable in fantasy football. That's so funny, man. Too many L's. Come on, give me some wins.
Too many L's for sure. Sorry to cut you off, but yes, you are correct. No, in the rest of life, it is great.
Earlier today, I forget which show it was, one of the big sports shows that I'm, I saw one of the clips on YouTube. They were talking about how, like, the coach is chewing you out. Like, for example, the coach is chewing out one or a couple of the wideouts saying, like, hey, you need to make your cut a little earlier. And they've been winning. They can just, the players are like, we've been winning. We don't need to do anything different. And so now they have an L, and it's like, okay, maybe we do need to do those little things better. We can be better. So, yeah, I think, I mean, it's, yeah, getting those L's, it's big. It's big in the NFL. You don't want to go undefeated. That's not good.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and shift on over to some of the news and see what's happening around the league.
Don't watch the news. Because I'm a kid, and apparently every time Grandpa gives me the remote, I have to watch the Powerball.
So the news this week is really sad for some areas and not too bad, actually, for others. So QB is one of those areas that's really not that bad. Only one that really kind of came up was PJ Walker, but nobody's really starting him. I think the only thing that might affect him is if anybody has DJ Moore, because I think he was doing well with DJ Moore and stuff like that. And now it looks like Mr. Headbutt himself from Cleveland. Oh, what is his name? Pulling a blank, I'm already forgetting his name. Who's the quarterback from was with Cleveland and then came over to Carolina?
Baker.
Baker Mayfield. Thank you. Yeah. Did you see the video, by the way, where he's headbutting everybody without a helmet?
I didn't know. It sounds funny, though.
Oh, my goodness. I'll send it in chat after we're done with the podcast. But he literally had no helmet on, and everybody was coming through, and he's trying to hype him up, and he's headbutting him, everybody, with the helmet. And he's not, like, gently tapping him. Like, he's, like, leaning into it. One of the guys even kind of, like, leaned back and kind of gave him a look like, what the hell are you doing, man? You're going to hurt yourself. Like, it was straight crazy.
I'm watching it right now. That's...
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like the fourth one in. He pulls back a little bit.
He got the starting job back. Maybe that was what got it for him. I heard he's starting this week.
Yeah, because PJ's hurt his ankle.
That's why. Okay, not the headbutts.
So not the headbutts, no. So that's the only really injury for QB, PJ Walker. He's got a hurt ankle. Nothing too big. Wide receivers, though, Jerry Jeudy, he's out probably. He's got an ankle issue. They got a good report. When he had his injury, it wasn't like a non-contact. He was just kind of running on the field and then just fell down. Didn't come back in the game and stuff, and they were worried for something real bad. But yeah, it's supposedly not as bad as they thought, but I don't think he'll be in for the next week or two due to that kind of aspect. Cooper Kupp, he's now on IR. We talked about that a little bit in the chat, so that's a real big bummer to lose him.
Sorry, Doug.
On your team. I mean, they're estimating that he'll come back after 4 weeks. But really, that's like fantasy championship week. So you hope he's back for that time, but if not, then it's like...
In 4 weeks, we put him back the first week, first round of the playoffs, potentially. So if Doug, if you can hold on and make the playoffs, that'll be a nice boost going into the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true. Which, by the way, everybody who's listening, that was our lovely Doug at the intro that you'll hear that we'll splice in there. Him singing his song after his loss. But yeah, Cooper Kupp on IR. And then also Juju Smith-Schuster concussion.
Have you heard anything more about that?
I have not. It's been pretty quiet. And I know I said it in chat as well. I don't want him back next week. I want him out for 2 weeks at least. I know he's really valuable, and he's been the wide receiver kind of really coming on lately. But I would rather have him for the push at the end for everything. Have you heard anything about what's going on with him?
No, I haven't heard really anything at all, actually. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
I know his mom posted something on Twitter or on Instagram. I saw that a little while ago, where it's a picture of her, Juju's dad and him just kind of hanging out there. And they said that he's fine. So he was on the field in his street clothes and stuff with them, saying he's all good. Thanks for the prayers and stuff. Supposedly, Juju tweeted on the 14th saying all is well, be back soon. But again, like it, when you see the when he got hit, you see him do the fencing response, which for those who aren't aware of it, it's when your arms like push straight out, like they it looks unnatural. Tua Tagovailoa, when he did it, he had his all like gang signs on his fingers looking. That was also a short form of, sorry if that was insensitive, but it looked kind of like gang symbols with his hands. But yeah, that's called the fencing response, and that means brain damage did occur. And so
yeah, his wasn't as bad as like Tua's. Tua's was, yeah, like you said, even though his fingers were getting all crinkled up. I did notice Juju kind of went into it not as bad, but yeah, he still did hit the fence.
Yeah, so I'm big on like just make sure you get through a concussion because like looking at the research, it takes usually minimum 10 days to get over a concussion, like minimum. Mm-hmm. And so I really don't want, and if he gets another one, it can usually be even longer. So I would rather he just takes the next week, maybe 2 weeks off. Because here's the crazy thing. If we win the Chiefs, that is, this weekend against the Chargers, we're going to be up 4 games. Plus the tiebreaker. So really 5 games.
Yeah, 4.5. Really, right? 4.5.
So that means we would have to lose all of our games but 2 for them to even take the division. It almost like but locks it.
Division's
in,
over.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
So I imagine they're gonna give us their best game, you know, but at the same time, Mike Williams is gonna be probably out. I'm pretty sure what's his face, the other wide receiver that always just goes to town on us on a regular basis, but he's been out all year for the hamstring.
Keenan Allen?
Keenan Allen, yeah. He'll probably be out. So they're missing their 2 main wide receivers. Palmer's there. Palmer's been doing good, but I mean, he's no Keenan Allen or Mike Williams. So, but that kind of going down to.
Have you heard anything official about Keenan and Mike Williams?
Let's look real quick. I haven't heard officially.
I thought today I read a tweet that said that they were
both playing?
Progressing. They were progressing nicely, or you know, were practicing. I don't know. Let me see if I can find it real quick. You can continue on. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So yeah, looking real quick, I have Mike Williams up on our ESPN thing. The news, which came out 14th, so yesterday, Williams hasn't played since week 7 due to the injury. He is slated to return to practice this week. So,
yeah, Mike Allen. This is from Daniel Popper on Twitter. I guess he's a Chargers reporter. He said wide receivers Mike Williams and wide receiver Keenan Allen will both be back in practice this week. Brandon Staley said. Okay. So it doesn't mean they'll play, but they're practicing at least.
That's good. I mean, good for them. But yeah, that's also kind of a bummer because that means the game's going to be a little harder for us.
Right.
But I still think we'll be fine, honestly. Not really worried about it.
Me too.
Then moving on to running backs, there were 2 running back injuries, both of which are on my team. Khalil Herbert. So, Jake, this is actually really good news for you because you picked up Montgomery when I dropped him. So
yeah, I did.
You're going to have a workhorse running back for the next, like, he went on, Khalil Herbert went on IR for at least the next 4 weeks. So, it's good you're calling your shot right now because, yeah, you have the best potential to run with a good running back with him this next 4 weeks. So Khalil Herbert's out for on IR. And then Leonard Fournette, he's has a hip injury. The thing is with that, I've seen reports where people are saying that he'll be back next week and it's not a real big issue and all those kind of things. But before the weekend, I was seeing reports as well that the team was considering on moving to White, who's the other running back, and Fournette may be losing his job kind of a thing. Rashad White. And so worth keeping an eye on. Rashad White is a rookie, so kind of unproven with a lot of things. But if you look at his carries, they've been pretty consistent, like 4, 6, 4, 8. And then this last week against Seattle, he had 22 carries for 105 yards. So if he's getting the full workload, he's going to be pretty good. The thing is the Bucks have a bye week this week, so it may get enough time for Fournette to get healthy, and so it may be all not worth it. But he's worth, I would flag him if you're somebody who needs a running back and looking for like a final push through the playoffs. Rashad White may be that guy. especially if Fournette goes down or they choose to move on from him. So I didn't know that was probably actually waiver wire situation, but anyways, Leonard Fournette has a hip injury. Tight ends, Zach Ertz is a knee injury. I don't think it's super duper serious, but I don't think he's going to play. Let's see here. Let's bring it up real quick. He's already ruled out, it looks like, in there. The injury he suffered against the Rams, he's getting a second opinion on it. So could be semi-serious, could be season-ending potentially. So we'll have to see. And then the last one is Gerald Everett. He also had an injury so he's on the Chargers. He's considered questionable. Is a good spot for next targets. Where is his update? He's considered day-to-day is what they said. So potentially could, but his is a groin injury. So I think that's considered what they call a soft tissue injury, and those can kind of linger for a while depending on how old you are. And I think he's fairly old, right?
Who's this?
Gerald Everett.
Oh, Gerald Everett. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he's a little older. So yeah, any other injuries that I was not aware of or didn't write down that you know of?
No, I think you touched on all of the ones that I heard of or saw this week.
All right, well, let's go ahead and head over to the waivers then.
First floor, factory rejects. Those hoes are hard to frazzle, Max. But we did our worst, and that's all that matters.
That's right. Got to get our fast factory rejects here. Find out who do we need to pick up that might win you the next league or next week. Looking at QBs, who do you think might be a good one? You had a great call on Justin Fields. I mean, that was all you, man. You talked about him and pushed him up, and they picked him up, and he again is rocking it. So who ended up picking him up? Let's look here. Justin Fields. It went to Gritty.
Nice. Yeah. Did you know Justin Fields is like seventh in the league right now in rushing too? Crazy.
Yeah. His positional rank is number four. He's the fourth best QB.
Man, that's crazy. So all the rushing yards and rushing touchdowns.
Yeah. So
that's crazy.
He's doing pretty good. 23, 26, 42, 39. So.
Yeah, that's super solid. He had 39 this last week. Man, 39. Yeah, I remember we were talking about him. I guess we'll get to wide receivers in a bit.
And that's what's crazy. He's been on the waiver wire for most of the season. That's amazing. That is amazing. I was literally going between picking him up or Tua up, and I chose poorly. Well, I mean, that's not entirely true. Tua's been doing good. He's been
29, 24,
and 23, which is all I could ever ask for a QB. So
slightly above, average, I would say, for sure.
Yeah. Is there anybody that you think that has similar upside, like maybe not Justin Fields caliber, but that you might pick up?
I'm looking at the available QBs right now. I was going to troll Lige and say Dak Prescott guaranteed to go for a big game against the Vikings. Lige was texting me earlier. I guess the line in Vegas right now is Cowboys -1.
Oh, interesting.
So crazy, right? Isn't that wild? They're coming off a loss. The Packers, meanwhile, the Vikings just beat the Bills, and yet the Cowboys are favored in Minnesota, I'm pretty sure. So it's like,
I don't know who's making these. There's no love for Minnesota. I'm sorry, Elijah, but there's not.
And
I mean, I think maybe everybody has the same thing, as they're waiting for Kirk Cousins just to Cousins. And
right.
But if they beat the Cowboys, that's legit.
Yeah, for sure. Daniel Jones is going up against Detroit, the 32nd ranked pass defense.
I was looking at him, by the way, because I was trying to figure out somebody too, and I kept coming back to him and maybe him. And I looked at his upside. He's only had two games in the 20s, like just two.
Yeah.
And one of them, he had 100 yards rushing to be able to get that.
And a rushing touchdown.
And so I feel like his upside isn't there. But at the same time, it's Detroit. Like, they bleed points to everybody. I don't know.
I think I would go with, if I have to pick a guy off of waivers and start him, I'm probably going to go with Jimmy G. Just because the system they run, and I mean, they get the ball out of his hands to playmakers quick, and I mean, you got Christian McCaffrey there, one of the best pass catching running backs in the league. And he's going against Arizona, who's been giving up a lot of points this year. So personally, Jimmy G, if I'm needing a
1 week
someone
rental.
To sub in, if my yeah, a 1 week rental, Jimmy G, I'd do it.
So I was actually going to pick up Dak Prescott. That was who my 1 week rental was going to be. But okay. I've actually just officially changed my mind, and this could be bad. But we're gonna go ahead and put this on the record out there. So okay. I was going to pick up Dak Prescott. That's who I had as my number one waiver claim for this week because I have Tua and he's on bye, which FYI, yeah. Bye week people, Jaguars, Dolphins, Seahawks, Buccaneers. So Tua was out. I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it because I was relatively impressed with that game that they did.
Yeah.
Almost is like, do you remember the year when Rodgers was like, R-E-L-A-X, you know, relax at the podium?
Yeah, he was just saying they were going to run the table or whatever.
And then, they literally started to do well. I have similar vibes. I feel like they're starting to click.
Do you know what their record was when he said that?
No, what was the record?
4-6. Do you know the record right now?
Is it 4-6?
4-6.
Oh my gosh, that's great. That is such good good information right there. So I'm doing it. I'm going to go with it. I went with Aaron Rodgers, and I think I have the number one waiver wire, and I always will be since I'm in last place. So sorry if anybody wants Aaron Rodgers. You're not getting him this week.
He just had his best game of the season, about 20 points, 224, three tubs. I'm kind of surprised he only got 20 points.
Yeah.
But I guess only 224. Yeah, it's not this crazy high total, but he was carving him up in the fourth and overtime there. He's going against Tennessee this week.
Yeah.
Ooh, Tennessee.
Tennessee's got a good defense.
Yeah, they do. They do. They played so good against the Chiefs. I was going to say they played so good against the Chiefs. And then I remember, we struggled scoring a little bit, but Mahomes was dicing them up. How many did we end up scoring in that Tennessee game?
Oh, not very many.
20?
20, yeah.
It was a low scoring game, but they have a 28th ranked pass defense. So yeah, I think that's a good pickup, man. That's probably a good pickup.
Yeah, I figure it's a good one. I don't know how much their defense was out or going to be out this next round, but it was actually really funny. Did you see the injury report for Tennessee the day after the Chiefs game? It was literally like 8 of their players were potentially questionable or out, and people were tweeting how it's like, yeah, when you play the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes passes for almost 60 attempts, your whole defense is pretty much done for a week, which is true. So,
savage.
Man,
that's a good pick. I think the reason he had success was because they established the run. I don't know if you watched much of that game, but they were pounding it. They were Aaron Jones. I mean, they got AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones, and I have Aaron Jones. And so he had a really solid game for me. I could have used 5 more points and I would have won my matchup, but it's okay. He still got me a solid, I think it was 22 points.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of his better outings this year from Aaron Jones. So they pounded the rock early. They were really just running it right down Dallas's throats. And then Aaron Rodgers, once they had that established play action, and Rodgers was hitting his target. So
yeah, for sure.
I think they're going to do the same thing going forward. They're going to keep really focusing on the run and then let Rodgers do his thing from there.
Sorry, I think so too. And I think they need to,
because
that is a strength. AJ Dillon's phenomenal. And so is your guy. Like they are good. Two really good running backs. Along that same line, now we're moving on to running backs. There's really only three guys out there that I think are worth picking up and or stashing. One of which is on a bye week. And so that's Rashad White. He's on bye week right now, so I wouldn't bother picking him up necessarily unless you really wanted to stash him. But I also think he has the highest upside of all the running backs that are available. So if you're in a need of a running back trying to push for the playoffs, pick him up if you have a spot. Michael Carter, what do you think of Michael Carter with the Jets? Do you know much about
him? He's projected. Yeah, I'm looking at his projected right now. How's this guy been doing? Let me take a gander at his. He's coming off a 15-point day where it's 76 in a tub.
He's been sneaky consistent in the 8-point range. you know?
Yeah, yeah. Now that's his average right now is 9 points.
Yeah,
it's but not really 15-pointer.
Yeah, it's not going to win you this in this league necessarily, but
yeah, he's going against. Thing I don't like is going against New England.
Oh.
New England always seems to have the Jets number. I mean, geez, the Jets have lost something crazy. Like, this doesn't sound right, but it seems like they've lost something like 15 straight to New England or something.
Oh my goodness.
Something ridiculous. So I don't love that matchup from that perspective.
Yeah.
But you're kind of in a pickle. I mean, as I'm looking at this list of available running backs, I mean, shoot, knowing how McKinnon has been getting a decent amount of looks from Mahomes out of the backfield as a catch, pass catching running back.
Mm-hmm.
So McKinnon's got upside.
Yep.
Mahomes always seems to get guys in good positions. He only has one touchdown on the year, but he's a pretty solid essentially an eight point average.
Yeah.
Looking at his games. So it's tough. We really don't have, there's not a lot of good options on here. Elijah Mitchell. No, I wouldn't.
So Elijah Mitchell, here's what's interesting with Elijah Mitchell. He is, let me bring him up here. He had 18 carries this last week. They still have Christian McCaffrey there, and he got 18 right. carries. I don't know what that means. Like, I don't know if you have any ideas. Like, do you
they're think- using McCaffrey very similarly to how, from what I've seen, and again, I'm not watching full 49ers games, but from everything I've seen on Red Zone and highlights, it seems like they're using McCaffrey very similar to how he was used in Carolina, which is getting him the ball on bubble screens, you know, out in the flat.
Yeah.
They're not using him as a pure running back. They're using McCaffrey for the gadget plays with Garoppolo. So Elijah Mitchell may be 18 carries. That's pretty substantial. He may yeah. be their go-to as far as pure running back goes. McCaffrey yeah. more of a maybe goal line kind of guy and pass catching, which yeah. has more value because he's going to get more touchdown options and half a point per reception. So Elijah Mitchell, though, yeah, 18 carries is interesting. He is, who's he playing this week?
He's playing Arizona.
Arizona, okay, another pretty porous defense, 22nd ranked against the run. So not a bad potential pickup. I would say Michael Carter, Jerick McKinnon, Elijah Mitchell would be the three I would look at if I was needing a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, Elijah Mitchell is one of those guys that I wish I need a little bit more. He came off of an injury, so he got injured right at the beginning. Before Christian McCaffrey was there, he was the main running back. Like, he was the one. And, I mean, if you think mm-hmm. about it, they traded away a few of their other running backs to Miami, or one left in free agency, and then they traded another one. And so, really, they're very content with Elijah Mitchell being there and Christian McCaffrey. And I think you're right. I don't think they want to make Christian McCaffrey a workhorse there, because
mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Deebo Samuel, who can do a lot of it, you have him who can do a lot of it, and both of those two are great with like bubble screens or catching it in space yep. kind of a thing. And I think you might be actually onto something, that Elijah Mitchell could be more of their pounding running back kind of a thing, and just
yes.
on a regular basis. So,
ooh, so one more person who's standing out to me, because I remember him getting a couple touchdowns 2 weeks ago. They were on their bye this last week. Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
Coming off a couple pretty good back-to-back games where he had 60 and a touchdown, 60 yards. He must have had a receiving touchdown, 60 yards and a receiving touchdown, and 90 yards and two touchdowns. His last game, he had a 23-point game against New Orleans. Kenyon Drake, he really balled out. Now he's playing Carolina.
So here's
who they haven't seen yet. What are your thoughts there?
So, yeah, my question on that one is you have the two different running backs who are there. You have Jeff Wilson
Jr. Yeah.
and Kenyon Drake. Or okay. wait, no, excuse me. Kenyon Drake is Ravens, right?
Gus Edwards?
Yeah. I was thinking Gus Edwards. So Gus Edwards yeah. is coming back from his injury. There's speculation he'll be sure. back this next week. And so
he's questionable, yeah.
So I don't know if I would go Drake.
Yeah, depending on that Edwards situation, for sure.
Yeah, because Edwards is still questionable, but there's still a chance that he'll be back. So
we'll yeah,
leave,
yeah, yeah.
We'll leave it there for right now on those ones. But I agree, there's not a lot. So again, anybody who's wanting a running back to push for the final season, just come trade with me. I got a few still. Even though I got some injuries, I still got a few good ones, I think. At least better than what's on the waiver wire. So, the wide receivers. Are you going to call MVS again? Are you going to call it? Is MVS getting another another touchdown?
Is he still on here?
I think he's still out there. Let me go back here.
Yep, he is still on there.
Yep, he's still available.
He's way down there. He's getting another touchdown this week. Isn't that crazy?
I'm calling another
touchdown.
Tooney's
actually going to have a big game.
Tooney's going to have the big game this week. That's who I think the Chiefs.
No. Tooney. No predictions personally for Tony, but it's Tony, right?
Is it Tony or Tooney? I don't know. We should figure that out because he's on our team.
Edit around this.
Yeah,
we're being bad Chiefs fans.
I do think he's going to do better this year. I mean, this week. I think he's going to step into it, looking at all the film review of what he was
doing. Darius Tony. There we go.
Darius Tony, yeah. I do think he's going to be the guy, I personally.
He's so shifty. Oh, my gosh. That was some Dante Hall type stuff on one of those catches where he was juking and stepping.
His blocking, too, is so good.
Yeah.
I love seeing a wide receiver who just commits to, like, knocking somebody out over if they can. So MVS is, I think, a good pickup if you're looking for a 1 week rental for wide receiver again. Christian Watson, do you have faith that he's going to do it? Is three touchdown week. is he worth picking up?
He's coming off a 30 point game with 107 yards and three tubs. Now he's going against Tennessee. Oh, he's a lock for a touchdown this week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's
locked for a touchdown.
Targets, he had 8 targets the whole game, three of which were touchdowns.
he's a lock. I'm intrigued there. I might pick him up.
Nice. Yeah, do it.
Yeah,
because he could be the guy.
I'm third on the waiver right now. So
and Dobbs, do you know if Dobbs is back yet? Is it Dobbs who is at Green Bay, the rookie who is injured? I'll have to look it up, look up the depth chart, because there's a wide receiver who is he was mainly working really well with. Green Bay depth chart. And Green Bay depth chart, here we go, pulling it up.
Wide receiver. Yeah, because I got Adam Thielen right now starting for this week, just because I have to out of necessity. And, I mean, Adam Thielen doesn't have anywhere close to that upside. His best game is 15 this season. He's been averaging like 9.
Oh man.
So I would feel better with that potential upside. So I just put a waiver claim in. We'll see if I can pick him up.
Nice. Romeo Dobbs. So Romeo Dobbs is the other one who's out right now. So it looks like the starting wide receivers are Christian Watson, Sammy Watkins, and Samari Touri, something like that. I mean,
yeah.
They are thin. Lazard is questionable, so maybe he'll be back. But I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's a intriguing one. Could be a league winner. The one that I think that people are overlooking, though, because of injury still, is actually Tyler Boyd. Tyler Boyd is actually wide receiver. And
averaging 11.
Yeah, with Chase still kind of coming off of his injury. I'm not sure if he's going to be back yet. And then also T. Higgins. T. Higgins doesn't have an injury designation, but I still think if you're looking for somebody who potentially could be the number two wide receiver for the Bengals, I think it's worth grabbing. And I mean, they're playing as well. Pittsburgh, who's been kind of porous a little bit, they're ranked the 31st for the wide receiver. So I think Tyler Boyd could be another sneaky grab if you're looking for somebody. Mm-hmm. Another one that if you're looking to kind of store, and I don't want to necessarily say it, but Marquise Brown, IR. He's coming off of IR potentially here soon. So I haven't heard anything. People keep saying he's getting close, and he's eyeing week 13. So if you can stash somebody who potentially could get you like 20 points in the wide receiver spot on a regular basis, he may be worth doing. And I'll just throw it out there that you, if you're wanting him, you got to probably put in a waiver for him this week because I think I have one to try to get him back. But he's not my top choice. So if you're wanting him, you got to get him this week probably to try to store him. But yeah, other than that, it's kind of a dart throw to pretty much anybody else who's out there. I don't really think there's much going on. Tight ends. Do you believe in Cole Kmet? Do you think he can do it? Is he somebody you want to pick up and go with? He's with the Bears.
You were hyping him up last week, weren't you?
I was.
He came through, man. 21 points.
He did. 21. Yeah. 21, 74 yards. He's getting, that's the highest targets. He's had 7 targets that week as well. It's been slowly ticking up. I don't know. If you believe in Justin Fields, it's almost like you got to kind of potentially go with Cole Kmet too, because he's been been a beneficiary of it. So
I'm putting, guess what I'm doing right now, Mike?
Uh-oh. Cole Kmet.
But I'm putting a claim in, dropping a Gesicki who's on a bye. And I feel like this guy is playing pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good grab. I still think Dalton Schultz, by the way, Cowboys, is still another great grab if you're looking for somebody for more consistency and not as much upside. Last 2 weeks has been 10 points or 14 points against Chicago and Green Bay. Again, his targets are 7 and 8. He's getting touchdowns. He was a really high-end tight end last year, and again, the Minnesota Vikings, they're ranked 25 against the tight end. So Dalton Schultz could be a good grab for somebody if they also are needing it. So the other ones, I just can't pull my trigger on most of them. There are some that are intriguing. Like Tyler Higbee, if he has another backup QB in there. But going up against New Orleans, which is supposedly ranked number one defense, I don't really foresee that being too good. But by the way,
but Isaiah Likely.
What was that?
Isaiah Likely, yeah.
Yeah, Isaiah Likely, maybe going. What's up, Dion? How you doing?
What's up? I'm good. How are you?
Nice to see you on here. So, yeah, everybody who's listening, Dion decided he ran home from work as fast as he could.
Yep.
So you say you work the swing shift. What does that mean exactly? Like, that means
So it's kind of – normally it's 3:30 to 11:30, but – they started rolling them a little bit just based off of our flying schedule. So like this week we're 2 to 10, and so we didn't have anything going on. So we were all like, let's just get out of here a little early.
Nice
military stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts? I was going to say, what are your thoughts on that? World War III starting soon.
I was just about to ask him. I was going to say, I was like, okay, so I've heard that military planes got scrambled and all that fun stuff, and due to that missile that hit Poland. And so I was curious, not that you can really tell us anything, but, you know, like, what are you feeling?
We briefly talked about it at work, just like amongst the guys. It wasn't like anyone, you know,
official briefs,
super high ranking or anything like that. We briefly talked about it. But I don't know. It'll be interesting because the scrambling of jets isn't always, I know it's like to the public, they always kind of like, oh my gosh, like, you know, we had like fighter jets, you know, scramble in Alaska because Russia came close or something. But that's like a daily occurrence up there. Mm-hmm. You just don't always hear about it. Maybe there was other scrambling that I didn't hear about, but I don't know. It'll be interesting because I know Poland is a NATO country.
Yep.
But it sounds like it was by accident. But I mean, even if it's by accident, you know, they still killed 2 people.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure how it'll go.
Yeah.
Draft age is 18 to 25, right?
Yeah.
I just
28. Let's go. I'm too old. I'm too old.
30
decrepit.
36. Woo. I'm out. I've been seeing some random reports that potentially also the missile doesn't have any typical Russian markings on it too. So I don't know if that's true or not. Don't want to spread any misinformation or anything right now, but there's a lot of stuff going on right now with it. So let's hope for your sake you don't get shipped off or anything, because you gotta finish off this league and beat us all. So
Deion's sitting at 8-2 right now, if anyone was wondering. So he's popping off. He's doing pretty good. He's doing pretty good in the league.
I'm pretty happy with it.
We were just talking about tight ends and who to pick up for tight ends. And Jake just mentioned, after my awesome explanation of Cole Kmet and how he's doing with Justin Fields, put a waiver wire claim in for him. But what's your thoughts on Cole Kmet, Dalton Schultz, or Tyler Higbee in general for tight end?
I mean, I see right now, I just actually pulled that up. I see Higbee's going up against the Saints, which is the number one ranked defense against tight ends. So,
yeah,
I mean, especially with, you know, if Stafford doesn't play again, that's definitely going to be a big thing. Yeah. Schultz, on the other hand, is playing the 25th worst or the 25th best defense against tight ends in the Vikings. And I don't know, what's this, Dak's third game back?
Yeah, I think so.
This will be.
Yeah.
So I do think that he's going to get better, you know, as he gets a little more time under him. Who was that third person? Was it Likely? No, it wasn't Likely.
No, it was Tyler Higbee, Cole Kmet.
For Kmet. Yeah. Kmet, yeah. So I think I sent it in the Discord the other day. I really think the Bears are starting to figure out their identity with Fields. Right. And obviously it's a little more, you know, get him going on the ground game and everything, but I mean, he's looked better passing the ball as well. Mm-hmm. And obviously Cole Kmet, I had him, I think I picked him up one of my leagues. He's had, you know, a couple good games here too. So he's still real young as well. So, yeah.
I drafted him. Mean,
really?
You know, so I'll call it if he goes off for the rest of the year, you know, I was just a little bit too ahead of the curve. So,
yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, no, I think the best waiver wire area is actually going to be wide receiver and tight end this week. Moving on over to defense though. There's a few options. I didn't really find anything that I thought was going to be over the top amazing steal of the week, but Ravens are playing Carolina. So if they're going up against Baker Mayfield, he throws picks. So could be a good grab. Chiefs against Chargers. I was thinking that I put that one down initially, but now that I heard that Mike Williams and Keenan Allen may be back, I may not suggest Chiefs as much. But Chiefs have actually been a sneaky good defense all around. Like they're getting you 10, 6, and 6 the last 3 weeks. So worth keeping an eye on that one. And then Commanders versus Houston. Houston is rough. In general, they're kind of falling apart. They're ranked the 26th for defenses going up against them. So worth keeping an eye on. That one's kind of hard. And then New England versus the Jets. As you know, you said earlier, New England's got the Jets number. So might be worth it. Is there anybody else that you might grab? Maybe Bengals?
Yeah, I would say possibly the Bengals, just because they're going up against, you know, Kenny Pickett and the Steelers.
Yeah.
Which they're still, I mean, I don't think they're going to figure it out this year, but they're still figuring out everything for them. Najee Harris, you know, somebody, I think I drafted him in this league. He has not done anything. I think he had 80 rushing yards last game, but,
yeah.
I mean, that was probably his best game all season, or probably, you know, up there with it. So I would say, you know, maybe the Bengals, they've started to come on as of late as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do see, like, ranking wise, they're kind of middle of the pack, but
who are they going up against? Pittsburgh. Okay.
Yeah.
Pickett, right?
Yeah.
Starting quarterback there.
Yep. Yep.
They're somewhat turnover prone. So, I mean, you could be getting, that's high upside.
Or
if you're Dion, you don't even got to talk about defense, special teams. You can just be real ballsy and confident. Just leave that an empty spot. Still win during the week. So he did that a couple weeks ago and I was just like, Dion, man, that's a risk not starting a defense. He's like, no, I'm good.
I think still I have the Niners. I think I have the Niners in this league. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure you do.
It's just hard for me to drop. You know, they're the number six, but I think at the time they were the number one when I had to make that decision. And then they were in that bye week, and I was just like, I can't afford, you know, to drop them and risk, you know. I'm looking at, because odds are somebody picks them up. But then I'm looking at, you know, maybe picking up the Bengals. I don't want to go from the Bengals, you know, the Niners to the Bengals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was risky, but it worked out for me.
Right.
Still can't believe you pulled it off. Or you could just be like team mess, you know, over here and playing like the Cleveland 7? Browns and getting -7 points.
Jared, I was texting Jared last week. I was like, dude, keep setting your line. Make sure you are on the ball with setting your lineup. You're doing really great, man. You're 7-2 going into last week or something?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Tied for the best record with Dion. And he's like, oh, shoot. Yeah. I didn't even quite register how good I was doing. I definitely need to start like trying as we get closer to the playoffs.
I hate him so much now.
He was really trying, and then he started -7 defense. Ouch. Maybe don't try,
Chase. Yeah, maybe don't try hard. Oh, my word. That's crazy. So real quick, actually shifting it up a little bit since Deion hopped on so we can have a little more conversation. It's a little bit different than football, but there was something that came out in Kansas City today. I don't know if you guys saw this news. I know you both are Kansas City people. Deion, did you grow up in Kansas City, or are you just...
No, I was 3 hours away.
Okay.
In Nebraska.
Omaha. Okay, Omaha, Nebraska area. Okay, gotcha.
Right, or Lincoln, sorry.
Oh,
Lincoln,
okay.
Yeah, like right outside, like 40 miles west of Lincoln.
Did you go to Union? Okay. Union College?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you're an Adventist person or not, but my sister lives in Lincoln, so. Anyways, but the Royals are sticking around in Kansas City, and they're getting a new stadium. Have you guys seen the pictures of their new stadium?
Is it confirmed, Mike?
Cody Tapp is talking about it. This is from Cody Tapp.
Confirmed they're going through with building the new stadium?
So Cody Tapp said that, and then also the mayor, Mayor Q, says, "We're glad to see the Royals committed to remaining in Kansas City. We'll work with the Royals and the Chiefs to responsibly ensure both franchises remain in Kansas City for years to come." And then Cody was posting a picture of this drawing or whatnot of the Royals. So it seems like it's official, but you guys are more tapped in that area.
It's cool, but like the history of Kauffman, man. I love Kauffman. It's just such a nice stadium. There's no traffic because it's, you know, it's right near Arrowhead. It's 5-10 minutes outside of downtown. I don't know how I feel about this. It's like, it looks like a cool location. I'm looking at those pictures right now that you sent.
Yeah, it's going to be downtown, it looks like.
Dope. That's really dope. But also, like, I wish they could just pick Kauffman up and move Kauffman downtown. Because I love Kauffman. Deion, if I'm not mistaken, is a San Francisco Giants fan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you don't follow all KC stuff.
No, I do try to stay, you know, relatively knowledgeable with the Royals, just because, you know, obviously
this is a part owner. And Mahomes is a part owner, so
exactly. and I have been to Royals games, obviously being so close. My dad and I would go and watch the Giants play the Royals there. But yeah, I mean, I like the renderings here, and I like the idea of a downtown ballpark, but I also don't like the idea because, I mean, right around Kauffman, there's so much parking, you know.
Yeah,
there's people who still like tailgate for Royals games and everything, and then just being able to go to a Royals game and see Arrowhead, you know, or vice versa, it's nice to have that.
Yeah.
But it being downtown, I don't know. I mean, I just went to Fenway two, 3 months ago, and it's right, it's not right there. Well, it's kind of in, you know, Boston, like downtown Boston area-ish, but it just seemed like it was a mess, you know, like the parking is sky high, outrageous. I mean, I know it is for the Chiefs as well. I don't know what it is for the Royals, but I just couldn't imagine, like, I know people would say they would like park way out to where it's cheaper and then walk all the way into Fenway. And I don't know. I wouldn't want to do that. And if you look at the rendering here, like, I don't see anywhere for parking.
Yeah.
So, I mean, except for maybe the bottom left hand, but, you know, they'd have to have like a ton of parking garages down there. I guess Phoenix is this way too, you know, at Chase Field, but they have a bunch of parking garages right there around it. And they also have the Footprint Center. So they have plenty of parking, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to a number of.
Also, we need a little more. I need a little more crown on this stadium. Where's the big iconic Royals crown? I mean,
it's out there in right field.
Yeah, but that's kind of small. Like right now they have the second largest screen in the US, only behind the Dallas Cowboys stadium. The Royals have the second largest screen in a stadium, in a sports stadium. Although it looks like I see in this picture, the top one on the left, that looks like a pretty large screen itself.
Yeah.
But I need a little more crown. I need a little bigger crown.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true, for sure. And along that lines, then, if Royals are getting a new stadium, do you think that they would build KC, like the Chiefs, a new stadium? And if so, would it be in the place of where the Royals stadium is, or would they move it downtown, do you think, as well? And would you even want a new stadium, I guess, is the other question.
So I think I could answer for both me and Jake here. Probably 99% of Chiefs Kingdom. One, no. We don't want that. Absolutely not. I think with Kansas City, we love the tradition and history of Arrowhead. I could never like we added GEHA Field onto Arrowhead and people lost their minds. People still hate it. So yeah, I couldn't imagine if they moved, renamed it, or just moved in general. But I will say, just to answer your other question, if they were to build a new stadium, I do think they would do that idea, tear down Kauffman and then build it there and then, you know, finish it while they're working. You know, I hope they never do. But I think that that's what they would do if they did decide to go that route. And I hope just because we're becoming that new, you know, like top dog, you know, for football teams, you know, we're this prestigious franchise now, we're competing and contending every year. I could see why they would want to go with like a brand new, you know, SoFi Stadium or something. But I just hope that we don't for the sake of tradition because it'll irritate a lot of fans.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. A lot of KC fans are very traditional, you know, but we like seeing the roots. We like history. We like seeing all those kind of things. Old school type, you know, I love it. I love it for sure. And I'm the same way.
Yeah, Arrowhead is one of the like OGs, man. Like it's,
yeah,
it's not, you know, like I lived in Dallas for about 6 months. I went to at least one Cowboys game and dude, like that it's a very nice stadium, but it doesn't feel like football to me. Like Arrowhead is like, it's gritty. You're outside, you're on, and it's a cement stadium. It's like everyone's standing most of the game. Like at the Cowboys game, people are all sitting down. And like when you're in a Chiefs game, man, it's the energy is unmatched. I don't think there's a single stadium in the NFL, little biased probably, but I don't think there's a single stadium in the NFL that has that same energy.
Yeah. I've never been to a Chiefs game, but I've been able to go into Chiefs Stadium. I don't know. I think I may have told Jake this story once, but I don't know if I've ever told it to you, Dion, or anybody else listening. But I recruited for Walla Walla University out of Walla Walla, Washington, and I would go to Kansas City to recruit to some of the private schools that were out there. And for about 3 years, I would always go out to Arrowhead. I'd get a hat at the store, and then I would always ask, like, hey, is there like a way I can do a tour? Because every time I would be there, I was there on a Thursday. And tours were every Monday and Tuesday, if I remember right, or something like that. I was never there on the actual tour days. And so they always felt, oh, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. Well, the last year, my fourth year there, I went to them and I said, got my hat. And I said, hey, this is my last year. I'm changing jobs. So I'm not going to be coming out here again. But I was just over at the Royal Stadium and I was able to give them my phone. And they took it into the stadium and like took pictures and stuff for me and then gave me my phone back. I was like, can I do that with you guys? Can I give you my phone? You guys go take pictures of the stadium. I'm like, I've just never been able to come to a game. I've never been able to do a tour. It'd be really awesome. And the lady who's was doing the jerseys, she's like, oh, honey, just come with me. And she took me all the way back. Got to go through the VIP lounge and see all that area. And then we walked out to the stadium. I couldn't go on the field. But she's like, I'll sit up here, just walk around, take pictures, do whatever you want to do. Whenever you're done, you know, come on back up here. If anybody has any problems, just point up here. And so I was able to walk around the whole stadium, taking all the pictures, the whole place to myself. It was super cool. Just probably one of my top, you know, five things that's ever happened in my life was that moment.
What year was this? Was this before they replaced the seats and they were like that ugly orange?
No, they were red. I'll okay, send good. You, I'll send some pictures. You know what year? I don't remember off the top of my head. It was Walla Walla. So my last year there, probably 16? 6 years ago. 15? So yeah, probably like 16, 17, something like that.
Yeah. 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 Cause they used to be for a long time there, they were like these orange seats and I always hated it. I'm like, ugh. But then they replaced them. I don't know, Dion, you're probably familiar with this too. They put new seats in and they're like a nice deep Chiefs red now. Looks way better.
Yeah. I wish somebody could have grabbed some of those chairs. I remember when they were removing them, they had the big pile out in their parking lot. And I was like, somebody's got to grab one of those for nostalgic or their man cave. Like that'd be super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they were kind of ugly, but anyways, moving on real quick. Last thing we'll wrap up here. We'll go over the power rankings. I did some shuffling and some moving just for funsies. Number eight is keeping me at Read 'Em Weep. I'm number eight, you know. I was telling Dion earlier, I'm the only person who's 0% chance of making the playoffs.
Oh.
So I am the first person eliminated from the actual playoffs. So that's why I am last place, and it is not going to change probably. Next up, we got Team Fitz. I'm keeping Team Fitz there near the bottom with me. You lost last week, so I'm keeping you down low. Jake, you had requested, if you won, that I bump you up. you did not win, so I dropped you one.
It's fair. It's respectful.
I brought you down to six. And mainly because Gritty Gritty Bang Bang almost put up a 150. He was so close to a 150. Yeah, he seems to be
getting back on track here.
So I bumped him up one, put him up to number five. That still means the top four, who are probably best chance of going to the playoffs. Number four, Reed's Naughty Boys, which, again, that's Doug. Everybody will be graced upon his tunes as I, you know, stitch that into the intro. You'll hear him singing over our intro, which is pretty funny. And then number three, Team Mess. I dropped him. He was team two before. He was second place last time. But I dropped him because he put up a minus seven. Like, you just can't do that and still be considered a top two. I'm just saying. You know, minus seven, I don't think I've ever seen in a week before. That's pretty rough. Number two, putting up Phoenix, Vladdy Daddy. He's doing really good. I'm quite impressed. And didn't you say that you have, like, what is the points difference between him and you? 16 points, and he has
three wins. Did I mention this earlier in the chat?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've scored 16 more points than Phoenix Vladdy Daddy, and yet I'm sixth in the league, and he's third, and he has three more wins than me. But I've scored more points. What kind of nonsense?
Right?
That's crazy.
It's the luck of the draw, man. You just... Man. Some weeks you have it, some weeks you don't.
I don't know if you noticed, but you've only had one more point scored on you than him.
Exactly. Exactly.
The perfect matchups at the perfect time.
The weekly matchup. Also, real quick, where do you have Gritty Gritty Bang Bang? You had him ranked where?
Gritty Bang Bang is number five. I put him number five.
On your power rankings?
Yeah.
Dude, he's scored the second most amount of points. So watch out, man. If Lige can get his guys healthy, he can put up points. He's just been on a very unlucky streak. But he's only, what is that? Math is hard. What? 60-ish, 57 points behind Dion here, Hertz Donut, for most points scored in the league. So, Lige, I'm scared of. If he gets hot and he keeps rolling here, I'll leave it at that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he definitely could be put a little further up, a little sneakier up, maybe a little higher than Reed. But I don't know. Reed's been scoring a lot of points, too. Reed's Naughty Boys. They're about off by about 10 points or 9 points or so. So, really, the one who is the fish out of water in terms of points total is Team Mess and Vladdy Daddy. They both are on the lower end, but we'll see. We'll see kind of how next week pans out. And that leaves number one, Dion, this man right here, Hertz Donut. And wait, just real quick, I should have won last week. I should have won. I had everything in line to beat you. Everything in line. And I was getting cute, and I was like, you know what? I'm not going to win anymore. Like, it's not going to happen, so I'm going to try to, you know, all those lineups that you think, you know, you don't have the courage to play because you really want to win. I was like, you know what? I got nothing to lose, so I'm going to hit really high. And it was Cordell Patterson going up against the Panthers.
You had Dalvin Cook on your bench?
Yes, because this is what I did. I saw how Carolina has been terrible against the run, and I'm like, dude, that's a layup because the Falcons are running nonstop and constantly. He's going to score a ton of points. And I'm like, the Vikings are going to Viking against the Bills. So I'm going to swap him out. Big mistake. Big mistake. If I had played Cooks instead of Cordell, I would have won by nine. Won by nine.
God.
So I'll give myself an honorary. I'm kind of retarded. I shouldn't have done that. That's what fantasy football is. You got to try. You got to, you know, take the risks and give the number one guy another win.
And that's wild. Dion, you have the number one offense and the number one defense.
Do I?
That's impressive. Defense
part. Oh, yeah. I guess you're right.
You don't even have 1,000 points cracked yet against you, and yet you're over 1,200 points for. So you have over 200 point differential. That's, man.
That's crazy.
I'm going to hire your defensive coordinator in the offseason.
Seriously. Well, is there anything anybody else wants to talk about real quick before we go, or? No?
Go ahead, Dion. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I maybe have something real quick that kind of I mean, I'm a Chiefs fan, so obviously I'm a little biased. Kind of grinding my gears a little bit.
Okay.
So, you know, all the last couple weeks, we've seen Philadelphia top the power rankings, followed by the Bills, and then most of the time it's the Chiefs at three. Totally understandable. But then how do the Bills lose and the Eagles lose, and somehow the Vikings jump to one, then the Eagles are second, Viking or Bills are third, and then we're fourth? How does that work?
Who's power rankings?
I'm a little biased. I think this was Sports Illustrated.
Okay. Yeah, I saw ESPN had Chiefs at one, which I was like, okay.
Oh, did they? Right. So yeah. I just saw this, and it kind of irritated me a little bit because I was – I mean, not that power rankings really matter that much and who, you know, who's Sports Illustrated anyway.
It's time. Time to check out the power rankings.
Yeah, so I got it pulled up here. Yep, so they have Vikings, Bills, Eagles, Chiefs. And, I mean, the way I look at it is that if this was, you know, it's obviously not, but if it was college football, you don't just stay at the top, you know, like – the Chiefs have been there, you know, consistently. They're hitting their stride even while losing guys. And then two teams ahead of them lose, and they still just bump down, and they bring the Vikings way up from, like, six, I think. It's just something that kind of, you know, got on my nerves, and I wanted to, you know, I wanted to get the frustration out.
No,
but do you guys agree with it? Or, you know, am I too biased here? Or, you know, am I within reason? I mean, I would say if you're going to put the Vikings at one for beating the Bills, I get it. But why are the Chiefs not two?
Yeah. No,
because they didn't lose this week.
I don't think the Vikings should be jumping up that high. Sorry, Elijah. I just – and we talked a little bit about the Vikings earlier where we just – it's hard to have faith in them. This last game was phenomenal and super awesome that they beat the Bills. And I do think that does deserve them a bump up. I don't agree that they should be number one. I think that's too high. I don't think Philadelphia should have dropped as far as they did in a lot of power rankings because they lost to the Commanders. Like, people underestimate the fact that it's a division rival, and like, you're going to lose sometimes the division rivals because you play each other so often. Say what?
Unless for the Chiefs, and you have a 24-3 record against your division in the last whatever how many years.
Yeah. Nobody's counting, though. Wood. Nobody's counting. But like, I actually like the NFL's power rankings on it. They have Eagles still number one, and I still think the Eagles deserve that spot.
Sure.
They have Chiefs number two, and they have Vikings number three. I think that is
I'm fine with that.
Respectable.
Yeah.
You know, they also then have Dolphins and Bills. I think the Bills are still relatively good. I don't think they're anybody to you know, say, hey, they're done, they're washed. But I do think the injury to Allen is more severe than what people like think. My wife is a
hot take. You ready for it? Ready for a hot take?
Okay, hot take it.
Bills aren't making the playoffs.
Whoa. That is
have you seen their schedule?
That is pretty
hot. Have you seen their schedule?
Okay, tell you bring it up real quick?
I've got it.
Okay, so tell us.
Okay, so they're 6-3 right now. They're third in their division. Third.
Okay.
Everyone in their division is above 500.
Okay.
They have to next week. They go against the Browns. Okay, that should be a win.
Yeah,
that should be a bit of a get right game. Fine. Then they play the Lions, sneaky Lions, who have been putting up points and competing.
I don't think they're sneaky enough. Because here's the deal: their defense is so bad, and like the Bills' offense is really good that I don't think they'll be able to keep up. But I'll follow along. Is that a win or a loss?
We'll see. They're gonna lose. So there's three games in here that they should win, and they're going to lose at least one of them.
Okay.
Then they play the Patriots, divisional game.
That could be a loss.
The 500 Patriots could be a loss. They play the Jets again. Jets.
Could be a loss.
Not a bad team this year.
Yeah.
They play the Dolphins.
Could be a loss.
Another divisional game. They go to Chicago, in Chicago. Who knows how Justin Fields is going to be looking then?
Could
be a loss.
I feel better about that one than the Lions.
They go to the Bengals. The Bengals. Could be a most likely could be a loss in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Then they have the Patriots again. They could easily lose four more of these games. They could lose four more of these eight games and miss the playoffs in that division.
That is true.
And I have to credit Lige for pointing this out to me. He sent me the schedule and he's like, dude, this is crazy. Losing that Vikings game might be really big for them down the stretch.
Yeah.
Well, I think I said it in the chat that this maybe is a different one, but that game against the Vikings is season altering for many different teams because obviously it puts us in first place, sole possession of first place or first seed in the AFC. But then also, I mean, now let's see. Yeah. They lost to the Dolphins, and then did they lose? Who was their other loss? Was it to the? It wasn't to the Jets. No,
they lost to Miami.
Yeah, so Miami and the Vikings, and then who was their third loss?
Let me bring up their schedule. Real
quick. I'm trying to look here. Why can't I see it?
But if you do look down the stretch, you know, just as Jake was, you know, listing off their games, you got Cincinnati sitting at 5-4, you know, and they got a lot to prove. So that game against them deeper in the season it'll be a huge game, you know.
Jets.
Especially
Jets.
Jets. Okay, that's what I thought.
On a two game losing streak right now. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you still got the Patriots who are, their offense isn't great, but they have one of the better defenses in the league. Obviously still have Bill Belichick. Yeah, they got them twice, and they got the Bengals once in Cincinnati, like Jake said. Yep. Both of those teams are sitting right there. They're 5-4 while the Bills are 6-3, you know. So if they split with the Patriots, lose the Bengals, then maybe lose another one, you might have the Patriots sitting at the, you know.
Dude.
At the same record as them, but they have the tiebreaker. Same with the Bengals. If the Bengals beat them, they might have the same record, but then they have the tiebreaker or whatever. Because it goes record head to head and then common opponents, right? As far as tiebreakers?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Okay. I think that's right. So that's what I thought. So, I mean, down the stretch, you know, it could be huge that they lost these last two games. Because if the Jets, Dolphins, and Patriots all hold tiebreakers over them, you know.
Well,
dude. Right now I think it's the entire AFC West is they fill up all three wild card slots, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's going to hold for very long. You still got the Chargers at 5-4, as well as the two teams, you know, Bengals and Patriots. So I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting, but that would be pretty wild to see, you know, a team like the Bills somehow slip out, you know, especially because. If Allen's, you know, what is it, his UCL joint or whatever?
Yeah.
Whatever that is, you know, if that continues to get worse, you know, they just played him, risked the injury. He was down on the field at one point, and they lost.
Their margin of error the rest of the way is so thin. If they slip up one more time, they're in great danger of being the seventh seed or even missing. So, especially because of all of these, again, they have how many more divisional games? Bills. Patriots twice and one more against four. They still have four divisional games, man. And if they lose any of those, their season.
So here's some interesting. So looking at the schedule, Miami, they have Houston. They're on bye week this week, but then they have Houston, San Francisco, Chargers, Bills, Packers, Patriots, Jets. So they have obviously their division, they're beating up on each other. So that's pretty rough. But I mean, Houston should be a win. They probably could beat San Francisco, I think.
Probably grind it out. That's a tough one though.
And I think they could beat the Chargers. That's a Mike
McDaniels game too.
Yeah, exactly. So there's going to be some extra heat on that one. And I think they could beat the Packers. So like that's four more wins for them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think Miami's got that. Then you look at the Patriots, look at their side here. They've got the Jets, the Vikings, the Bills, the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Bengals, the Dolphins, the Bills. So, oh man, that's not easy either.
That division is fascinating. Seeing how this plays out for that division is going to be entertaining for sure.
Yeah.
That division is what everybody thought the AFC West was going to be this year.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. And I actually think the Jets have the best schedule remaining, obviously, because they were last place in their division, so they have the easier one. But they got the Jaguars. They've got Chicago and the Lions.
Seahawks, that's not a gimme at this point with how Geno Smith is playing. But
I mean, the fact is that the Jets have two amazing corners. And so,
yeah, that's facts.
If the Seahawks are good at rushing too, like with Walker and stuff, so they may be able to pull it off. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that whole thing plays out. I don't think it's going to be as straightforward of Bills division like we were all thinking right away.
Yep. Mike, I'll swing us back to fantasy our league real quick.
Okay.
And then we can get out on this. You want to look at matchups this week and outcomes and how it would affect the playoffs?
For sure. All right, so let's go to scoreboard here. So week 11, we have, first off on mine, we have myself versus Vladdy Daddy, and how it will affect the playoffs. It won't, because I'm not in them. No, I can actually affect Vladdy Daddy quite considerably if I beat him this week, because he's 6-4, and he's still trying to hold that one spot. And to be honest, he actually has a pretty rough matchup. with me this week because of the amount of people that are on bye. Mm-hmm. I don't want an advertisement to pop up. Hold on.
You starting Dalvin Cook this week?
Yes, I am. He's back in there.
There we go.
But he has, you know, it's Devin Singletary. He has Travis Etienne, who's on bye, which is a good wide running back. And then he also has his kicker. Jason is out on bye.
Man.
And then his bench, he has Godwin, who's on bye. Christian Kirk is on bye. Raheem Mostert's on bye. His defense is on bye. And Jamar Chase is out still on injury. So his bench is like toast. And so depending on what he chooses to do, he's going to have to drop some people to kind of fill those spots. And so I'm not sure what he's going to plan to do. I'm guessing he'll drop Seahawks defense, and he'll probably drop Jason Myers kicker to replace him and stuff. But yeah, I think I have a chance. Honestly,
how set is your lineup right now? Right now you're projected 76. You're going to make some more moves though, right?
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm sorry. You're projected.
Yeah. I'm 76.5 is my projection because Tua is still in my lineup and he's on bye.
Okay.
So,
okay.
It will go up, but that's one of those matchup situations where I chose to, I'm playing a little bit riskier. I'm putting Kadarius Toney in. Making my call because I would rather have him versus Pittman. Pittman against who's he going up against? Who's the Colts? The Colts are going up against Philly this time, and so I think they're going to be angry, and so I don't really want to play somebody against them. I don't know. I might swap Cortland Sutton for Pittman, but I really want to try Kadarius Toney. I think he might be good.
Yeah, I would say I 100% think Juju's not going to play this week. And then if McColl doesn't play again, I think Toney, they're going to have to expect Toney to do what he did last week, but and then some, and then they're going to be reliant on Sky Moore, which, I mean.
I was saying MVS. I predicted again that MVS is getting another touchdown this week, so we'll see.
Yeah.
And
like Toney. I like what he brings to the offense. I literally texted my dad right before the game, and I was like, I think our new wide, because my dad's not great with names, so I was like, I think our new wide receiver gets in the end zone today. And sure enough, mm-hmm. you know, like first touchdown he gets in.
That's awesome.
One leg got in. But
yeah, yeah.
Hopping down the sideline. That was funny.
So the next game, Reed's Naughty Boys, 5-5, is going up against Gritty Bang Bang, 4-6.
Ooh, this is huge.
It's very evenly matched right now based upon the current like lineup, both projected 111, 112. But yes, this is a huge game for the playoffs. You know, Reed needs to keep winning to get ahead. But I don't know. It's going to be close. It's going to be a definite fight. Let's look at the matchup here real quick in terms of players. Gritty's rolling with Justin Fields currently. It doesn't look like, I mean, he could go back to Lamar
Jackson. No players on bye week for either team. Cooper Kupp is on IR, but that's it for Doug, for Reed's Naughty Boys.
Oh.
So right now, I think their layup, their lineup's pretty set other than an empty slot for wide receivers.
Yeah, I was going to say Reed's missing a wide receiver.
Yeah, he's missing a wide receiver. And with a missing wide receiver, he's only down 1 point. So it's looking like it could be Reed's game here.
You look at his bench and he's only got Wandale Robinson. So he's probably forced to play him in that wide receiver slot.
Yeah.
Which is only 6 points. So I don't think it makes that big of a difference.
He's gonna pick someone up. I would assume he's probably gonna make a move for someone, but we'll see. I'm rooting for you, Doug. I need you to knock off Lige to keep my playoff hopes alive.
Yeah.
If we can get Lige to lose and I can win, big for me. I'm not out yet. I got a 15% chance. 15. I'm holding on to that 15% chance.
There's still a chance, my friend. Still a chance.
Yes.
then next, by the way, who's the team who hasn't made any transactions yet?
Who wasn't that Team Fitz?
Was that Team Fitz? Okay. I wasn't sure if that was going to be one of those guys up there we just mentioned. But, okay, so we'll get to that with Team Fitz. Next one is Jalen Hurts versus Team Mess. This is big hitters right here, pretty much 1-2. Really, it doesn't matter for either one of you to win. You both can handle the loss this weekend. I think even if you either one of you lose it, I think there's a good chance both of you will still make the playoffs.
Deion's already 100%. He's already booked his spot.
Yeah. he's got his ticket.
Mess is right there, you know, probably at like 98%.
Yeah, Jared, Team Mess, Jared's at like a 98% chance, so it would be both of them are basically locked in for playoffs.
So the question is
this will just be bragging rights.
Bragging rights.
Yeah, essentially. Flex.
Or do you
better best record, remember, in our fantasy league in the playoffs.
Home field.
I forget exactly how it's broken down, but there's a home field advantage. Whoever had the better record gets better record or head-to-head matchup gets a +3 at the beginning of the week.
Really? Yeah. I did not know that.
So
records, regular season matters by 3 points.
By 3 points.
That's huge, though. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's a free kick, free field goal. So,
right.
So yeah, I mean, obviously things could go well. I was going to say if he wanted to throw the game, it would like all but guarantee team mess in, and that would pretty much push everybody else. Like that would be the only thing I think could potentially do it, is if you want to throw a game to mess up everybody else still fighting to get in. But
savage.
But that is pretty savage if you did that. That's like 4D chess, really. You'd have to look and see who's fighting in and see if you're actually scared of anybody's team, which I don't think you are. So,
no.
You're not scared of anyone beating everybody easily. Number one defense and offense.
Right.
a little salty.
Then the last game, chilling with my homies, you are going up against Team Fitz. Team Fitz currently is projected for 59 points. So let's look at this real quick.
Which means I'll score 58.
And he has people in his lineup. Oh, because Mike Evans is on bye, and his quarterback's on bye.
Yeah, he's going to get Joe Mixon back this week.
Yeah. So Mixon will kind of jump up there. So he'll
Mike Williams, potentially Mike Williams. He's got Higgins back. Yeah, he's got Joe Burrow back. He's got his offense. It's going to be a tough week. It's going to be tough, but I need this to stay alive.
Yeah, he's got to do the stack. That's one thing I've noticed. Our league hasn't really done much of the stacking. The only person who has a stack is actually Dion. Or at least...
Forgive my ignorance. What do you mean by stack?
So a stack is when you have...
Quarterback and wide receiver.
Yeah, quarterback, wide receiver, or quarterback, tight end.
All off one team?
Yeah, from one team. So
okay, yeah, okay.
That means if there's one touchdown, it's worth 14 points on your team versus the traditional 7, you know, because you one touchdown, both people are getting a score for it.
Right.
Usually when there's a stack, those are teams that win leagues. If you can find that year's stack. I don't know.
So like having a Mahomes Kelsey or Mahomes Tyreek situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And if you could have the triple stack of Mahomes Kelsey and Tyreek when you had them, man, that was like gold because you're almost guaranteed a few double points on those or double touchdowns. But I mean, your stack may be looking a little rough though, coming in here, Dion. AJ Brown only got a few points, got injured potentially. Doesn't look like it's super bad. So I didn't put on the injury report, but we'll see.
I do also have Devontae Smith. So,
that's true. His backup.
It sucks having the quarterback and two wide receivers. Cause it's like, I think it was the first week of the year. Devontae went off for like, maybe not. It was the week 3. He had 27 points. So that was huge. But it's just very hard to pick, you know? Like last night, obviously, it would have made more sense for me to play Devontae over A.J. Brown. But A.J. Brown also has had those games. I think that's who I was thinking of. Week 1, he had 20. And then, week 8, he had 37 almost. Mm. So it sucks having all of those. But
yeah.
My team is
good to go.
My team is the entirety of my team is Patrick Mahomes and Austin Eckler, both ranked number one in running back and in wide receiver. So if both of those guys don't get me at least 25, I'm not winning. Essentially,
you're going to do
tough. That's what happened this last week.
You're going to do great with David Montgomery. He's going to get you, I think, 20 points this week. I can almost lock that in because, like I said, Khalil Herbert's out, who is his backup, and they were splitting the reps, and so now he's the full person, and that's a run heavy team. I can almost lock that in. You can get like 20 points for that guy. DJ Moore, I don't think you're going to do so good with him, especially if what's his face is in there, Baker Mayfield. But then
he's going to be one of my, both of my wide receivers. You may see some changes going into before the week starts.
Yeah. It's a bummer. You don't have Waddle in there. If you had Waddle, I would say you had the game on lock personally.
Right. Yeah, because he's ranked position rank six for Eric Waddle. He's Jalen Waddle. Why did I say Eric? Yeah, Jalen Waddle's position rank six.
So we'll see. I mean, Team Fitz might actually have to make some moves this week if he wants to win and stay in it. So, you know, Jacob, whoever, I don't know. Oh, his name is Jacob Fitzgerald as well. So,
yeah.
I was like, I was like, wait, wrong Jacob? Nope. Both two Jacobs in the league. I don't know if he listens to the podcast or not, or if he's going to listen. This one's a long one, by the way. We're about almost an hour and a half. So, hopefully people listen all the way through. But he's going to have to actually make moves this time. So we'll see what that he chooses to do.
Before we sign off, Mike.
Yes.
I've got a question for you. And if you get it right, I will pay $5 extra of your $20 at the end of the season. So you only have to pay 15 if you get this right.
To Dion? You ready for the question? Perfect. Yes. All right.
Okay. Yeah. To Dion. You'll be sending this money to Dion. I'll be sending this money to you.
Yeah.
Do you know, so you have that little snippet. I don't watch the news, but I watch the Powerball. Do you know the name of that kid?
My hands are off the keyboard for the record, so I'm not going to Google
it. Okay. I only know this because I was thought that kid was hilarious when he first like went viral on Ellen.
Yeah.
And I've watched all of his snippets from the Ellen show, and so I know his name.
Do I have to know his first and last name?
First and last.
No, well, that's not going
to either
happen.
Of them? Do you know either?
I'm just going to take a stab here. His name's Jacob.
No, it's not Jacob.
What's his name?
It's Noah Ritter.
Noah Ritter. Oh.
Yeah, Noah Ritter. That's funny. I was just curious if you knew that, because when I heard that, when I was first listening to your episode where you edited that in, I don't watch the news, I watch the Powerball. I was like, oh, that is classic. I love that.
Yeah.
By the way, I think Dion's frozen. I don't know if he's still there.
Or he's looking down at something. So, well, with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. I hope you all have a great rest of your week. I hope you listen to the whole hour and a half podcast. And Dion, even if you're frozen, you hear this later. Thank you for showing up. We really appreciate it. And with that, we'll see you guys later.
Peace.